Hey, Western Oklahoma schools, listen up. How would you like to win a $5,000 interactive smart display for your school? Thanks to Video Reality, an audio-video business in Oklahoma City, you could be awarded one. Here's how. From now through February 28th, anyone can text in one time per day through the entire promotion. The winner will be announced during our live coverage on the ParagonTV.com and Cool 94's coverage of the Saturday, March 2nd Class A and B Basketball Championships. Here's how to participate. The text line number is 580-225-9697. And in the text, simply type in the one word name of the school you choose to support. We are so proud to partner with Video Reality that through their gracious gift in this promotion, some lucky school will be awarded a $5,000 interactive smart display. Remember, send a text to 580-225-9697. Type in your school's name. It can only be one word. And send it. Limit is one vote per day per phone number. Good luck. Video Reality, your audio, video, and control experts.
If you build it, he will.
It's the City on Sports Podcast with Aaron Cowell.
I throw balls far. You want good words? Data language.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
And now here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Calc with the Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP.
Good Garrison Financial Friday, everybody. Welcome to the Skinny on Sports right here on 98.1 FM. The Sports Animal, glad to have you along for the next hour. We got Scotty in the house. I have some trivia questions that I cannot wait to see exactly how much these guys know about the Super Bowl.
Because we're trying to avoid talking about your Ravens.
We're trying to avoid talking about the Super Bowl until next week. 2 weeks worth of the Super Bowl breakdown is probably too much.
That's a lot.
It's a lot. And yeah, my Ravens ruined everybody's 2 weeks because now we get to talk about Taylor Swift for two more weeks leading into the Super Bowl. All right. What do you got? You've got something.
I do have something.
Okay, what do you got?
So, I mean, are you ready to just jump into it?
Go ahead.
Did you see that there was an economist did a study on revenue for college sports at Ole Miss? Did you see this?
Yes.
Did you see this?
Yes, I did.
So there was a little meme, but I got the full story.
Go ahead.
And this is just absolutely mind-blowing.
Okay.
Guess what the total net profit for all college sports at Ole Miss was last year?
Man, I know what one of them was. That's why the story you... I know they lost $7
million. $8.4 million on the women's basketball. But guess what the total net revenue was for all college sports?
I'm going to say... You have a guess, Jared?
No, I'm horrible with this.
$0.
I was going to say it's not going to be as much as you think because football subsidizes everything.
It's unbelievable. It is unbelievable. But the thing that surprised me is football only made $12 million net.
Yeah.
After expenses, they only made $12 million. I mean, think about it. You got to fly 85, probably 100 people by the time you finish with staff.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you got to charter jets. You got to fly them every away game. Got to put them up in a hotel. But, yeah, I mean, this...
Now, you can blow through $100 million pretty quick if you're not careful.
Yeah, really quick. Actually, the total revenue was $123,796,000, and they broke even.
Wow. I wonder...
Now, is that the norm?
I mean, it's...
Or does somebody need to get
it's
fired?
It's not like this is... It's not like we're talking about Texas Tech or Vanderbilt.
I saw somewhere, you know? Where,
I mean, how much money does Vanderbilt lose every year?
Oh, sure. I saw somewhere where they were comparing like the amount of money made at a home game, you know, ticket sales, drinks, food, merch, everything, and OU was up there with the rest of the SEC. So my question is, like, why is that? Are they a more popular brand than, say, Ole Miss, and they're able to bring in more revenue for every home game?
I don't know.
I mean, it makes you think they need to hire somebody to watch the dollar.
I actually misspoke. Ole Miss football, men's football, net profit was $25 million.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
$25 million. The football program brought home $73 million, almost $74 million, and paid out almost $49 million. Yeah. Keep in mind, that doesn't even count NIL stuff that comes from a booster club. Yeah.
Well, it's not supposed to go to the school.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so I'm looking at 2022 revenues. It's 23 probably isn't quite ready to roll out just yet, right?
Sure, yeah. I'm sure it's not, yeah.
Which athlete? This is just revenues. Okay, just revenue. Who do you think was number one?
I want to say it has to be Alabama, but it might be Georgia.
Neither.
Notre Dame.
For last year?
2022 athletic revenue.
22.
Notre Dame.
Nope. You're in the right part of the country, though.
Okay, so Michigan or Ohio
it's
State?
It's the Ohio State.
Ohio State. What was the revenue number there? 123, something like that? Or was that just football?
That's total net revenue.
So total revenue at Ole Miss was 123?
Yeah.
They're not even halfway.
Wow.
251.
Wow.
For Ohio State.
No wonder they spent $40 million getting players up there.
Now, here's the deal. Sometimes these are a little bit skewed. If they get, you know, like they're, like, you know, for instance, back in the early 2000s, Oklahoma State's number would be skewed if Boone gave them a, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like those would be. So let's see. Number two.
Well,
this is pretty normal.
I would think that booster funds are not counted in revenue.
I wouldn't think so. So who do you think is number two?
I would say Michigan, if Ohio State was number one.
Texas, 239.
Huh.
So that's running in. They might have got a smaller donation. Because then number three, Alabama, down to 214.
Wow.
So there might have been some sort of gift, or they may have just made that much money. Michigan.
I would think that revenue is revenue and gifts are gifts.
I would too. Yeah, I would think this is what the athletic department is actually generating.
Yeah. Ole Miss golf team lost $1.3 million.
I'm actually surprised it's not more than that.
That's the men's. The women lost another $1.3 million.
Because they get, that's the best.
Yeah. Heck yeah. Can you imagine?
I mean, like, think about this. Oklahoma, just in the fall, when Ryder was playing. They spent a week in Houston. They went to, Oregon?
They're not staying at the Motel 6.
They went to Oregon. They went to Hawaii. Pretty good.
Now, part of the reason why they don't lose more than that is they probably do have boosters that pay for hotel rooms and pay for things
possibility,
like that.
Possibility, yeah. And there's only five of them.
Yeah.
Well, or, you know, a handful, a little bit more than that.
Yeah, it's not a football team. Yeah.
Yeah. I want to know what OU's – check that out. What
revenue right here.
Softball.
Oh yeah.
Program bring in.
See, you know, there was always the argument about the college bout, even when Oklahoma was rolling with Sherry Cole and the Paris twins and all that. That even then, they weren't making money.
Well, no, because only Sherry Cole was making $1.5 million.
Only like UConn and Tennessee,
because equal pay,
were making money. As you know, and that goes for. I mean, a bunch of the men's college basketball doesn't make money either.
Iowa.
Like, do we really think Oklahoma men's basketball is making money when they're rolling in $5,000 a night?
Absolutely not.
I don't think so either.
No.
Now what, Jared? Iowa?
Have you seen what Caitlin Clark is bringing in alone? I mean, just the ticket prices, the ticket sales, just for her presence, either at home or away. I would love to see. I got a feeling Iowa women's basketball is getting more money than Iowa men's basketball at this moment.
I'm sure Iowa with women's basketball is making more money.
I watched. It was a Sunday afternoon. Iowa was at Ohio State. The place was packed. Stars were on the sidelines, and they were showing like in the breezeway or areas, and the tons of Caitlin Clark jerseys on people,
yeah.
on men, on grown men. And just the jersey sales this woman's bringing
worn
in is crazy.
Since I was like 16 years old.
It's I can nuts. Remember. I can remember Scotty having a Pittsburgh Steeler jersey when I was in the play. Like at play practice, you'd have a Steeler jersey.
Woodman. Or Woodson, I mean. Yeah, Rod Woodson, man.
Okay, so I'm glad you brought up – I heard this conversation yesterday. Of course, it was, at 2, Jim was making fun of Caitlin Clark. But here, this is a legitimate question with kind of what you brought to the table today. Any idea who the highest-earning WNBA player is? Let me rephrase that question because there is no way in hell anybody's going to know her name. How much money do you think the highest earner in the WNBA makes?
Salary or salary and endorsements?
Salary.
Salary.
So during the 2023 season, Erica Wheeler.
$250,000.
Damn close. Yeah. 242.
Yeah.
So here, if you're Caitlin Clark, she can come back to Iowa next year.
Mm. Oh, she'll make a lot
she
more
has
money.
To go back, right?
She'll make a fortune going back.
100%.
She could quadruple that. I mean, you think she can make $1 million in Iowa?
Absolutely.
I think so, too.
The person you just mentioned, I wouldn't know who she was if I passed her at Walmart.
No.
When I see Caitlin Clark on TV, I know who it is. That's why she's on those State Farm commercials. She's marketable.
And not a WNBA player on a State Farm commercial.
That's right. You don't see
that. She needs to come back to college, yeah. For what the NIL can give her, she can make up.
Yeah. $242,000.
But before any ladies get upset with us out there, just remember what Bill Burr said. We didn't let you down. You let you down.
Oh, man, I was listening to.
You want women's sports to make more money? Go to the games. Watch them on TV.
Keep dudes from playing.
Keep dudes from playing.
I was listening to a podcast this morning, and it was just kind of going through the stories in the country and how ridiculous a lot of this stuff is going on, even outside of sports. And one of them was 5 men help women's volleyball team to victory. 5 on
You've
one team.
You've got to be kidding.
No.
Me.
No.
My gosh.
Yeah, I saw that it's an amazing those numbers you gave, if people wonder why we're so interested in like the football conference realignment and nobody gives a damn about basketball, that's why.
Well, so here's the question.
You know, Kansas, people, in the all these different moves, what about Kansas basketball? What about, it's valuable. No, it's not.
No, it's not.
No, it's not.
It is to Kansas, and that's it.
That's right.
That's the only school that makes any money off Kansas basketball. And so here's the, I had a follow-up question. I kind of got sidetracked. How are these schools going to be able to afford to travel all of those other teams all the way across the country?
Mm-hmm. This is why.
When OU's women's baseball team probably took or softball team probably took a bus to Oklahoma State, probably took a bus to Dallas for Baylor and TCU.
Yeah, go out to Tech. Tech's just 4 hours. I mean, well, from here it's 4 hours.
So, yeah.
You know. Yeah. I think this is why you're going to see.
Yeah, you're not taking a bus to Ole Miss.
Not unless you're going to be on like a 2-week trip. It'd be like the minor league baseball.
Yeah.
When we see charitable gifts given, you'll see that I've seen a couple OU football will put out there, thanks to this family from New York for this X amount of dollars. You've seen a lot for OU softball to go fund.
For OU softball, that once again, just like Kansas basketball, that's the exception.
Mm-hmm.
That's not.
Well, my question is, where do the charitable gifts go? Do they go facilities, to shoes? Do they go to, or do they go to chartering planes and stuff?
Well, I'm sure that Oklahoma State men's golf hasn't paid for anything in forever, because I'm sure that former players pay for everything that they do.
I'm sure everything you just mentioned.
Yeah.
It can pay for whatever. I mean, there might be certain things. Boone, for instance, earmarking for renovation of the stadium.
Mm-hmm.
But I think more naturally, it's just unless they've got a pet project that they want done within facilities or whatever, I think it's just here you go. Here's $500,000, spend it.
Yeah.
You know, whatever you need to do, be my guest.
Support the program.
That yeah. Would be I mean, it's just like, okay, you know, if you're part of the booster club, we just had a baseball meeting on Wednesday, parents' baseball meeting, the booster club. Well, it's going to go to whatever they need, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah.
I'm sure if, you know, some of the things that they talk that they're being talked about needing, you know, L screens or whatever, if you want to go, okay, I want this to buy four L screens. Well, I mean, they're not going to not do that.
Sure.
If that's where you want it. But I think for the most part, it's just, you know, into the general fund mm-hmm. of what's going to be spent and you move on from there. That's incredible numbers. That's why football is going to break off. What you just said about the travel and all that for those other sports. Football is not going to be associated with the NCAA. It's going to be its own thing. And then all this madness with the conferences, you wonder if it just goes back to how it was with the other sports. Like, okay, this is stupid. All of us right here in the middle of the country will just be in the same conference for these other things.
Yeah.
But the genie may be already out of the bottle for that to happen.
One of the – that might be the greatest blessing if football breaks off and does its own thing, because then they can actually make rules for
yes. –
recruiting and rules for taking players in the portal and make it a little bit more organized than the disaster that it currently is.
Yeah, I mean, I have a problem. You see this week, Tennessee now in hot water over NIL. What rules did they break? There aren't any. You know,
who
I
hasn't?
Mean, I mean,
if there is something that you're going to say, well, that wasn't right. What team didn't do it?
Because there wasn't any rules set. It just guidelines, or not even guidelines. A lot of it just, I mean, it's been the wild, wild west. We've all known it,
mm-hmm.
you know. Okay, my turn to ask questions.
All right.
Super Bowl trivia. Who has played in the most Super Bowls? Individual player.
Got to be Brady.
Yes. Got any idea how many?
Nine, I think.
Ten.
Dang. Tampa Ten. Bay. I forgot that one.
Ten.
Yeah.
Okay. Let me go to one that isn't obvious, because the first few are Tom Brady or Bill Belichick. Okay. Who has had the most passes intercepted for a career in the Super Bowl?
The most passes intercepted.
Yes, who's thrown the most interceptions in the Super Bowl? Not just one game, for a career.
Man, it's hard not to say Brady, because he's the one quarterback that's been there the most.
It would be hard not to say Brady.
It's not Brady.
Okay. You tipped your hand on that one, so...
Kelly.
Brady. Nope. Right era.
That's a good idea.
Right era.
Not Aikman.
Oh, no.
Okay. You got me. Elway?
John Elway. Eight passes intercepted.
He really tried to force those first couple of Super Bowls. But he didn't have much around him.
That's
for the
what
first
he knew. He
Super
was
Bowls
the only
either.
One. That's right. Who scored the most touchdowns in the Super Bowl? Y'all could play along. 225-9698 if you want to fire some guesses at some of these.
I'm going to say Franco Harris.
He's an answer to a question down the list, just a tick, but it's
okay.
Not this one.
Most touchdowns. Man, I...
Most touchdowns scored in the Super Bowl. We have a guess of Rob Gronkowski. That's not it either. Give up.
Emmitt Smith.
He's the next answer to the next question. You're going to be kicking yourself I tell you who it is. You're going to be kicking yourself. Have you got another guess of Emmitt? Nope, it's not Emmitt. Jerry Rice.
Oh, my gosh.
Eight touchdowns for Jerry Rice. You guessed Emmitt. Emmitt has the most rushing touchdowns of five. Franco Harris, that would have been a good question, but he already had the answer out there, and I shouldn't have said anything. He's got the most rushing yards for a career.
Yeah.
354. Single game records. Who's thrown the most passing touchdowns in a Super Bowl in one game?
In one game?
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think of blowouts.
Yeah, it's in the, you got to go back.
Wouldn't be Jim McMahon, would it?
Nope.
Okay.
But a little after. A little after, but you're in the right track here when the NFC was just rolling over the AFC year after year after year after year after year. It's in that mix.
Montana?
It's the right team.
Oh, so Steve Young.
Steve Young, six against the Chargers in the 1994 season.
Yeah, that was awful. Yeah, that was hard to watch.
Yeah, it was beat down. Who has thrown the most interceptions in a single game?
I mean, I'd probably still stick with Elway.
It's not. Most interceptions.
Then I'd go to Kelly.
Nope.
Man.
This would be a good pull.
In a game?
In one single game.
In a game.
In one single Super Bowl game. This would be a good pull if you can remember the game. You could be. You might not even remember the quarterback, though. I'll give it to you.
So now it obviously wasn't a superstar.
It wasn't a superstar, but he was really good at the time.
Okay.
Rich Gannon.
Okay.
The Raiders. He threw five against the Buccaneers.
Yeah, that was really hard to watch, too.
Yeah, it got hard to watch.
There was a safety sitting back there that was just destroying people.
John Lynch.
Yeah.
Then the also in that game, most pick sixes of two. Dwight Smith had two in that one game.
Wow.
Who scored the most rushing touchdowns in a single Super Bowl game?
You might think I'm crazy to say this, but who you going with, Jerry?
Mark from Duke got Rich Gannon. Go ahead.
I'm going to
this Broncos. Is,
oh, yeah.
Davis.
Terrell Davis is one of them. Great guess, Jared.
It's There's a tie?
Two guys have scored three rushing touchdowns.
Three rushing
one game.
Touchdowns. I would like to say Walter Payton, but the fridge scored at least
one. Yeah, Walter
of those.
Didn't score.
Okay.
Walter did
was
not.
Was it the fridge?
No, the fridge got one of them.
Okay.
This one is the most recent of any of these answers. It happened last year.
Nah, I just.
Hurts?
Jalen Hurts. Three.
Wow.
Jalen Hurts and Terrell Davis. Three rushing touchdowns. Now, this answer has been given on the show within the last 2 weeks. Who has the most rushing yards in a single Super Bowl game?
I forgot the name.
Well, then that he just told me that it wasn't Emmitt Smith.
It's not Emmitt Smith. Oh, there's Marcus Allen is a good guess,
that
but
is
it's
a good
not
guess.
Right. I can't remember who texted in this name. And I thought, oh, my gosh, yeah, he's got the record for this guy. This Super Bowl is widely remembered, but it's for a different guy on the same team.
I'm drawing a blank.
The answer is Timmy Smith.
Yeah. Wonder why I was drawing a blank.
What you remember about that Super Bowl is a guy named Doug Williams.
Okay.
As the first African-American quarterback to win the Super Bowl for the Redskins. But Timmy Smith had 204.
Smith.
204. Most receiving yards.
I'm going to say Moss.
In a Super Bowl. No. Nope.
Lynn Swann.
In a Super Bowl.
One Super Bowl game. Who had the most receiving yards?
Probably Jerry Rice again.
Jerry Rice.
Yeah.
215 against the Bengals. Who has had the most sacks in one single game?
Most sacks.
There's a few of these guys.
Huh.
I suck at this game.
Can I get a clue? What's the number?
Three.
Singletary.
Nope. One of these guys.
Boy, I keep trying to guess the 85
I know the Bears.
Yeah.
I mean, the Bears did kick the hell out of the Patriots.
They did embarrass the Patriots.
One of these names you 1,000,000% know.
Okay, from the text line, that's where I was going.
Nope.
Not Warren Sapp.
Nope. But one of these names you know, these others, you just have to remember this happening.
Yeah, I have no clue.
Reggie White for the Packers.
I should have known that.
Yeah. The Cardinals, Darnell Dockett. Coney Ealy of the Panthers. And then Grady Jarrett. I actually might have fired out in that same Panthers Super Bowl. Von Miller.
Yeah.
Von Miller is the answer, one of the two answers to most sacks for a career. 4.5. Von Miller, and you know who the other guy is? From the 80s and 90s. One of the weirdest cats of all time, according to his teammates. Would do some really crazy stuff. Charles Haley.
Oh, yeah.
You ever hear those records, that stories about Charles Haley?
Yeah. Cool. Yeah.
Okay, Scott, you should know this one. Who has the longest run?
Debo.
The longest run. Okay. The longest run in Super Bowl history.
Well, if I'm supposed to know it, then it had to be a Steeler.
Mm-hmm.
So, Franco?
Nope.
No, it's not going to be Franco.
75-yard run in the Super Bowl. Do you remember what his name was?
I mean, there's no way the bus ran for 75 yards. No. He was not fast enough.
I do think it was – did the bus end in the Super Bowl when they beat the Seahawks? Was that his final game?
Yes.
It was in that game.
In Detroit.
It was in that game. The other guy.
I can't even remember who the other guy was.
Willie Parker.
Yeah.
75-yarder.
Yeah.
You got any idea what the longest completion was in Super Bowl history? Anybody?
No clue.
Jake Delhomme to Mohsin Muhammad, 85-yarder against the Carolina against the Patriots. Back in what would that be, 2002 or 2003?
I don't know.
Longest field goal ever kicked in a Super Bowl game?
Well, I'll just say Vinatieri because he's probably kicked the most by a mile.
Yeah, they didn't even put that on here because everybody probably knew. This was actually a Bill. Steve Christie, 54-yarder. Okay. I know Garrett Hartley hit a couple of 50-yarders in that Saints win, but not 54. Longest pick six.
That's Debo.
That's the Steelers zone, Arizona, right?
James Harrison. Yeah. Okay, so let's stop there. Because I've been thinking about – actually, one more. What's the who holds the record for punt return touchdowns in the Super Bowl?
Oh, what's his name from the Bears?
It's a kickoff.
Oh.
Yeah, it was a kickoff. It was a punt.
The answer is nobody. It's never happened.
Huh.
Never been a punt return touchdown in the Super Bowl. I saw the James Harrison play.
Yeah.
And that led me – at first I was thinking – so like Super Bowl what-ifs. In my mind, when I saw that play, I forgot that Kurt Warner actually did get inducted into the Hall of Fame. Because – that was going to be one of my greatest what-ifs. What if he doesn't throw – if he wasn't in?
Yeah.
And how much that could change because
– right. That would have been three Super Bowls that he would have won?
Two, because he got beat by Tom Brady.
That's true, yeah.
The greatest show on turf. One, yep. And then they lost. But then that led to, okay, what's the greatest play in the history of the Super Bowl?
Well, I mean, if you're asking me, it's Debo running back 99.5 yards for a touchdown.
I don't even think that's the best play in that game.
The catch in the end zone?
Holy hell.
Santonio Holmes?
Yes, and that throw?
That was pretty incredible.
You know, there's been some great drives. We talked about John Candy the other day with Montana leading the 49ers, and the John Taylor play is memorable. The one that gets lost in the shuffle, even of that own game.
Yeah.
Because you see the James Harrison, you see that way more.
Mm-hmm.
And the throw, that catch, I mean, when it first happened.
I mean, that game was.
It was phenomenal.
Phenomenal. It might be the best Super Bowl ever.
It's up there.
Because, you know, Debo runs that back as the half expires.
Yes.
Pittsburgh has all the momentum. Arizona comes right back out, punches Pittsburgh right in the face. And then Pittsburgh,
Big
Ben.
Yeah, because Warner hit Larry Fitzgerald right down the middle of the field, and he just outran everybody to score, like 2:10 left or whatever it was. But that's the Santonio Holmes Ben play gets lost in the shuffle the Super Bowl. It's one of the best plays. If you actually see, I saw an angle from like, if you're setting, looking at the pylon, then the play is coming right at you. There was like three dudes in the way.
Yeah.
And Ben missed every one of them. And when he made the, I mean, when it happened, you're like, that's out. There is no chance.
There was only one place that he could have thrown the ball.
That one.
But the other thing, too, is that Holmes managed to keep his feet in bounds.
That's it. I mean, when it happened, you're like, there's no way that's complete.
Yeah.
No chance that's complete. And he, to keep his toes, unbelievable. Yeah, we're getting the Giants helmet catch. I mean, that's
a fluke.
That's the, but it's the, of all the Super Bowl plays, the what if. What if that doesn't happen? Yeah. Here's the deal. We just talked about it yesterday. In that list of Super Bowl winners, Super Bowl winning teams, the Patriots are 1,000,000% number one on that list.
Oh, yeah.
They're going to be that helmet catch eliminated the best team of all time.
Seven Super Bowls. Yeah, seven. They would have won seven Super Bowls if it weren't for a guy pushing a ball in between his one hand and his helmet. That's
and have it and the strength to hold on. And then
yeah.
I mean, to survive the fall and everything. Yeah, like the guy draped on you. That's
once again,
crazy.
You just knew when it was. And back then, if the ball would have touched the ground, they'd have called it incomplete, no matter if he had it controlled on his helmet or not. That's just the way the officiating was at that time. And it's got, you know, the rules have obviously gotten better.
How much money did that one catch make him?
You know, you know this? It was the last catch he ever made.
Was it really?
In his career. It's the last catch he ever made.
Wow.
David Tyree.
Yeah. I couldn't even remember who he was.
David Tyree.
Hey, I got a. They had a good question the other day on the animal when I was driving to the city for some meetings. If you could take, because they were talking, I can't remember which one of them said that Mahomes is the GOAT. I mean, really?
Not yet.
No, not yet. Not. I mean, personally, I think there's several guys ahead of him. But if you could take one guy in their prime to win one Super Bowl, one quarterback,
who
you taking?
One guy in their prime?
One guy in their prime. You can pick any quarterback that's ever won a Super Bowl. One guy in their prime. Who
Man,
you
the easy
what a
answer is
great question.
Is Brady. That's the easy answer.
See?
If I'm getting
and
him,
for me, that's not my answer.
Me neither. I'm honestly not even thinking about it. I'm coming down to like three other guys.
For me, it's Joe Montana.
See? In my mind, I'm thinking, okay, who didn't lose?
Yeah.
Montana didn't lose. Bradshaw didn't lose.
Yeah.
Troy Aikman didn't lose.
People forget some of the throws that Bradshaw made in those.
He, you know, he was.
Not to mention, go back and watch the Raiders-Steelers 75 playoff game the year after the Immaculate Reception.
Mm-hmm.
The Raiders came out. I mean, they were trying to kill everybody.
Yeah, and they end up beating them.
Yeah,
they beat
the
Cowboys. The first Cowboys-Steelers Super Bowl.
Yeah.
21-17.
Yeah.
We just talked about it.
But
later.
For me, Montana, I mean, I'd like to see what his combined stats were for all of his Super Bowls because I don't remember him making very many mistakes.
I'm sure they're out there.
I know I was a kid, but I don't remember him making very many mistakes.
They'd probably, I mean, a lot of these records would be his except for now they're Brady's.
Yeah, but that's because Brady's played in
so many of them, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, think about that helmet catch. Almost, you know who really ought to be kicked in the teeth more than any other player in the history of Super Bowls for allowing the second Patriots dynasty. Russell Wilson. Just hand the damn ball off to beast mode. They win that Super Bowl.
Now
we don't even have to worry. I'm afraid he might have called an audible to throw a pick is the problem.
Yeah.
But, you know, like the Patriots were buried. That 2007 thing, like, almost buried them. And they were down, 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 down. And then all of a sudden, they kind of come out of nowhere, make the Super Bowl again. You're thinking, oh, golly, this old guy's going to win again. Oh, no, he's not. Here's beast mode from 2 yards. And he throws a pick. And the next thing you know, he reels off, like, four more.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, oh, my gosh, what just happened? Brady was done at three. It's a great conversation to have of who's the greatest quarterback of all time. And then he turns 38 and he wins four more Super Bowls, and you're like, never mind. This isn't any fun to have at all.
So here's a good question. Who's the best player, not quarterback, not just quarterback, who's the best player that never played in a Super Bowl?
Oh, my gosh.
I think it's easy.
Best player's never played in a Super Bowl.
Oh, I know. Well, it has to be when the Super Bowl happened. It can't be somebody way old, like that didn't have a chance to play the
right.
Super Bowl. Right?
No, right.
Yeah, I know this one. Barry Sanders.
Ooh, I was going to say Frank Gore.
Yeah, Barry Sanders is way better than
Barry
Frank Gore.
Sanders. Frank Gore was pretty incredible.
Oh, look at here.
But yeah, Sanders.
Barry. Yeah, Barry Sanders. Uh-huh. I'm going to go with that. I'd take Montana. You have to take Montana, but man, I would want to take Troy Aikman really bad. Go look at those Super Bowls.
Are you kidding me?
Troy was awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Awesome.
Well, of course, what I was about to say for Troy goes the same for
Montana. Bradshaw.
I was going to say, look who Troy got to throw the ball to. Mm-hmm. But Montana had some pretty incredible guys to throw the ball to, too.
It'd be hard for me not to take Peyton Manning also, just because I love Peyton Manning.
And then again, Tom Brady didn't have, other than Randy Moss, there's not a single Hall of Fame wide receiver or running back off of those Patriots teams, yeah, other than Randy Moss.
And Gronk. I mean, if you count in. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's what I told Jared the other day. Yesterday, I guess. Yeah, Brady won 7 Super Bowls with a bunch of no-names. And then when he had Randy Moss, they almost went undefeated.
Yeah.
That's how ridiculous that it could have
been.
Should
have gone undefeated.
All right, Scotty, what's happening at Garrison Financial?
Hey, we are just helping people make their money work efficiently, going over things that they have been doing and finding some places that they can make improvements. If you got some questions about your portfolio, or you got some questions about some things that affect your personal finances, come down and see us. We'll help you out.
Last question. What team gained the most yards in a single Super Bowl game?
God, there's so many great offenses.
This one did it in a loss.
Really?
Yep.
Well, that's I'd say the Bills.
Patriots against the Eagles.
Patriots against the Eagles.
613 yards.
God,
I think Brady threw for 505, and they lost.
Wow.
Yeah, 505.
I wonder how many lost. See, I would have said Atlanta when they blew the lead.
Yeah.
I thought how many yards did they rack up before they blew it and then tried to hold on to it.
Wild, isn't it?
Yeah, pretty crazy stuff.
Here's an answer for you, Scotty. Fewest rushing yards in a Super Bowl. Patriots against the Bears, 7. 7 yards.
There's your Bears.
I got one.
There's the Bears.
Oh, here they are. Most rushing touchdowns, most sacks. I just had to get down here to the team stats.
Scrolling.
Yeah. All right, man, thank you.
Yeah,
have a good weekend.
Have a great weekend.
All right, it's Garrison Financial. Scott Garrison hanging out with us when we come back. Who knows? We'll talk about all kinds of different things. Skinny on Sports right here on the Sports Animal.
Hello, my name is Scott Garrison. You may remember me as Scott the Barber, or just as Ron and Carla's son. I've been involved in our community since opening Scott's Barbershop on the southeast corner of 3rd and Main in 1998. Now I'm back in the same building as Garrison Financial. I started investing in my 20s. I invested through the dot-com crash and the Great Recession. I started caring for other people's money in 2018, and I truly enjoy sitting down with my clients, understanding their wants and needs, as well as what keeps them up at night. Whether my friends just want me to invest a little of their savings or want me to work with their tax and legal professionals to strive towards optimal efficiency, we can do it all. I believe communication is key to helping my clients reach their goals. For if we are faithful over a few things, we shall be given more. Contact me at scott@soonerwealth.com. Securities offered through registered representatives of Cambridge Investment Research, Inc., a broker-dealer member FINRA and SIPC. Advisory services offered through Cambridge Investment Research Advisors, Inc., a registered investment advisor. Garrison Financial and Cambridge are not affiliated. This communication is strictly intended for individuals residing in the states of Colorado, Nevada, Oklahoma, and Texas. No offers may be made or accepted from any resident outside the specific states referenced. Cambridge does not offer tax and legal advice.
Hey, is this heaven? No.
It's the Skinny on Sports.
Welcome back on this fine Garrison Financial Friday. Skinny on Sports right here on 98.1 FM, the Sports Animal. Scotty stopped by, hung out with us for a while. He's a full financial planner, shop the open market to bring you the best value on life insurance and your investments. Can manage those investments, or if you like to kind of manage your stuff but you're just not sure how to get started, he can charge you hourly. That'll build you a plan that then you can manage. Scott@soonerwealth.com, 124 North Main Street, right here in Elk City. Then 821-1219 is the office number down there. Man, I could go all day with these just looking up these different records, Super Bowl records. They've got what they call next level stats.
What's that mean?
So, like, for a quarterback, highest average air yards per pass, meaning who threw the ball the furthest down, who threw the ball the furthest per attempt in Super Bowl history. That's 19.2 yards in the air every time he threw
every
it.
Every time he threw it, it went almost 20 yards. I don't know.
That's right. So you know it has to be an older one because nobody's doing that now.
No, there's a lot of...
Terry Bradshaw.
Oh, yeah.
And that Cowboys Super Bowl we just talked about a second ago. Shortest. This is pretty crazy. At a tie. 4.7. Cardinals, Kurt Warner, and then the Brady's Patriots against the Rams. Terry Bradshaw threw the furthest pass that traveled the furthest, got caught, 59 yards in that same Cowboys Super Bowl. Well, there you go. You throw one 59. They probably threw it about 10 times.
I was going to say, so back then, they're not really.
You got a pretty good average rolling when you got a 59er. Yeah, these are really interesting. Really interesting stats. Did you see all the Twitter buzz last night, Jared, about a possible trade for the Oklahoma City Thunder? You're rolling your eyes and shaking your head, so I think you know what I'm talking about.
I sat down with my first cup of Joe, and I checked my email, I checked my socials, and I went to Twitter's, and what's going on today? And I saw that was the first thing I saw. And I just put my phone down and just stared at the TV. Like, you got to be kidding me. It's not happening. Go ahead. Tell them.
So, Twitter was abuzz last night with it was actually a Shams. Was it Shams report?
It was a reputable dude.
It was Shams, I think.
Is it him? He also predicted the because I looked into this guy. I was like, well, is this guy just looking for clicks? Or is it – he's a sports reporter out of L.A., No. He was a sports reporter out of a major market, and he actually predicted or heard the rumblings about Kawhi Leonard extending at the Clippers, and it became true. So people are like, well, this guy might know what he's hearing, or might be true, but go ahead.
Supposedly, at the top of the Lakers ship out of their list is 39-year-old LeBron James. And maybe Shams had seen that and then went kind of added to that Rob Pelinka, which is the GM of L.A., has been engaged in talks with one suitor. And, of course, then you start seeing memes of LeBron in a whole bunch of different jerseys, one of which would be Oklahoma City. Would you like that?
No. 100% no.
Why not?
Because I personally cannot stand the man. Like but so, I don't know. It's
so we could
it goes
forgive,
against everything we think this team is about.
So we could forgive KD and come on back, but we can't forgive LeBron for not doing anything?
Did I say I'd forgive KD?
Oh, I would. Maybe that was just me.
I'm not sure I did.
I'm forgiving him.
I don't know if he adds to this team. I don't know. But it might fit in my criteria of get one of those vet guys that knows what he's talking about. He might help galvanize the locker room and guide these guys through a first-round series win. By God, that's what we're trying to do this season, right? Just get that first-round series win.
Well, this would make it look like they're trying to win the whole title. What would you give up? Let's pretend like you would do it. What would you give up?
Well, if that is true, what LA is wanting to do, I mean, there's a lot of speculation. He didn't play last night. AD didn't play last night. They still beat the Celtics. So there's always that speculation. Like, look, they're looking at your future. They're trying to show we don't need these guys. So if it is a slight teardown for LA, you think they want a lot of the picks that Oklahoma City owns, plus personnel. You know, I wonder – Lou Dort, Giddey, those are always going to come up in discussion when it comes to trades.
Oh, those idiots would probably think we would trade him Shea for LeBron.
Exactly. That's, you know, I'm not giving up Shea.
But I would think they would want a lot of the picks.
Now, this goes back to something we've talked about before, though. Do you think this is a spot where LeBron would come, if it was possible, and if place he thinks in his mind that would be okay with you-know-who getting drafted by this team?
His very average son?
You-know-who being Bronny.
If he's chasing for a title, another title, I mean, Oklahoma City wouldn't be a bad landing spot with the youth. He could, you know, he wouldn't have to exert so much energy with the youth that's around. And again, he knows how to win titles. It just doesn't seem like a fit for LeBron personally, thinking, man, I'm not going to Oklahoma City.
Yeah, nobody wants him. I tell you, on the text line, you. I don't know that I don't want LeBron either, but I just thought it was pretty interesting.
It'd be.
Here's what it does.
It just does not seem very Sam Presti-esque
No. But here's what it does show you. It shows you how much the Thunder are actually on the minds of people nationally.
Oh, sure.
With what they've done this season.
Well, kind of like what I said when they lost on Sunday. Everyone called it a massive upset, and I took that as a compliment. As a Thunder fan, you know, it's like, yeah, we got a pretty dang good team. Everyone's saying this is a massive upset that one of the big dogs got beat by lowly Detroit.
Right.
So, that you're right. That it does kind of again, feels like a compliment when people speculate, where could LeBron go?
And it's Oklahoma City's one of the spots.
Golden State, us all putting them at.
Oh, please, Lord, go there. That make or go to Phoenix.
Go there and please document it. Please take camera crews everywhere. I'd love to see what goes on there between him and Nut Puncher. Yeah. I'd love to see that. Can I say Nut Puncher on air?
You just did. Okay. I guess we'll find out. You did it twice, actually, if we're being honest. Yeah, we'll find out twice if we can do that.
I'm complimenting making that a promo. Should I bleep it out or not?
And yeah, then nobody knows what you really said. Let's see here. What did you think about Washington hiring Dan Quinn?
Well, he's like the last kid getting picked for dodgeball. Just okay, Dan, you're up. You're with us.
So one of our great lists.
Well, what other candidates were left?
I mean, plenty of them. They could have circled back to Bill Belichick.
Yeah. There's Bill.
We had one of our good, fine listeners and texters, AJ. He's a big time Washington fan. Of course, that news broke officially right after we got off the show, and he sent me a Facebook message like, "Oh my gosh!" And I said, "I'll tell you what. Here's how I kind of judge a lot of times coaching hires, and it's by the your like rivals' fan bases." And I'll tell you this. I think you got a great hire. And so, you know, I sent this to Jim last night. I came across this stat on Twitter. And this is something that he's really been beaten. He's been talking about these for a couple years now, as far as the coaching hires and who's working in the NFL and who's not. And I came across this stat since from 2014 to 2022, so up until going into the year, there were 38 offensive head coaches hired versus 23 defensive head coaches hired. Okay? The offensive coaches won at a 49.25% clip. They made the playoffs 52 times, which was 40.31%. They earned 9 conference titles and 3 Super Bowl wins. Okay? That's offensive coaches. Defensive ones, they won at a 45% clip, so 4% less. They only made the playoffs 19 times, so just 26% of the time they made the playoffs. And then here's the really damning numbers. One conference title, and none of them have won the Super Bowl. So you've got 9 Super Bowl appearances and three championships for the offensive guys, 1 Super Bowl appearance and no titles for the defensive guys. That I sent that to Jim, and it was like, man, this illustrates what you've been saying better than you can even imagine. And he goes, oh, yeah, I'm using that. And so, you know, now there was rumblings that Chip Kelly has been offered that offensive coordinator job. We never got to that last week when I was wanting to talk about the Harbaugh thing, Harbaugh moving to the pros from college, one of the best college jobs, Saban retiring.
Did they fire Chip Kelly?
No, he's still there. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, wow.
We never got to the, hey, are we sure that these great college coaches, does this not show that they're more fed up than ever about what's going on around them? That they're retiring, they're going to the NFL. Now, if UCLA's head coach leaves to be the offensive coordinator at Washington.
It happened somewhere else.
Well, it looks like Grubb may go. Ryan Grubb.
Where was he at?
Ryan Grubb's the offensive coordinator that went with DeBoer at Alabama.
Oh, okay.
He could go to Seattle. You're talking about Jeff Heffley. Boston College.
Yes, that's who I'm talking about.
That's who you're talking about.
Yeah, he took an OC job, didn't he?
Defensive
coordinator. Defensive coordinator job. Yeah. Right.
But, I mean, I guess.
Also, colleges and what different cultures there are, but Boston College probably isn't going. Yeah.
Well, he's got it easier.
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't imagine Boston College would be, they'd be one of the people hurt by the portal.
No, that's true.
Guys going out versus coming in.
That's true.
But, man, I think that would illustrate the point even better if UCLA's head coach left to coach to be the offensive coordinator for the Redskins. The Commanders.
That's crazy. A possibility.
But, yeah, the offensive coaches, there's no doubt. I mean, that the ultimate has been right on the forefront of this. The stats bear it out. That the league has definitely gone more offensive, but even more importantly than that, the successful head coaches are almost exclusively on the offensive side of the ball. We'll be back. Wrap up with Garrison Financial on Friday next.
Hello, my name is Scott Garrison. You may remember me as Scott the Barber or just as Ron and Carla's son. I've been involved in our community since opening Scott's Barbershop on the southeast corner of 3rd and Main in 1998. Now I'm back in the same building as Garrison Financial. I started investing in my 20s. I invested through the dot-com crash and the Great Recession. I started caring for other people's money in 2018, and I truly enjoy sitting down with my clients, understanding their wants and needs, as well as what keeps them up at night. Whether my friends just want me to invest a little of their savings or want me to work with their tax and legal professionals to strive towards optimal efficiency, we can do it all. I believe communication is key to helping my clients reach their goals. For if we are faithful over a few things, we shall be given more. Contact me at scott@soonerwealth.com. Securities offered through registered representatives of Cambridge Investment Research, Inc., a broker-dealer member FINRA and SIPC. Advisory services offered through Cambridge Investment Research Advisors, Inc., a registered investment advisor. Garrison Financial and Cambridge are not affiliated. This communication is strictly intended for individuals residing in the states of Colorado, Nevada, Oklahoma, and Texas. No offers may be made or accepted from any resident outside the specific states referenced. Cambridge does not offer tax and legal advice.
The Skinny on Sports.
Yeah! Coming at ya!
Welcome back. Skinny on Sports. 98.1 FM, the Sports Animal. Wrapping up the week with the final segment of the Garrison Financial Friday show. A little high school basketball. Tonight, full slate of games around the area. The small schools, you've got Cheyenne Raiden. They've got a tough one heading up to Sealing. Rapo Butler goes out to Merritt. Hollis will go to Sayre. Hammond's at Duke. And then Burns Flat Dill City travels, 5 miles?
Not very far.
5 miles to Canute. Take on the Trojanettes and the Trojans. Those are 6:30 girls starts, 8 o'clock for the boys. The Pioneer Sitter will be rocking tonight. Senior night for Elk City with Newcastle in town. So the Elkettes and the Big Elks hosting Newcastle. We'll have assignments released this afternoon for 2A through 4A. We'll see where Merritt, we'll see where Elk City, will be headed for districts, regionals area, and the like. And then yesterday, Jared, the small schools, we knew where they were going. Now we know when they play, as the brackets released yesterday afternoon or early evening, really, for the Class A and B playoffs. We'll get those posted. That way it might help you deciding your Tucker family beef 8 for state. I posted the rules online yesterday on our social media pages, Skinny on Sports, mine, Paragon TV, Big Oak TV, all of those. You can find how to play. It's not really, it's just giving you a how to get entered into the Skinny on Sports Tucker family beef 8 for state contest. It was a lot of fun last year. Ribeyes, fillets, hamburger meat, and beef sticks, the snack sticks, will be in the prize pack for the winner. Of course, that just adorable picture I posted of the daughter of the winner last year with Ella and Coach Ham in here collecting their prize. I got people buzzing. They like that picture.
Little kids help sell things for sure.
Especially cute ones.
I mean,
cute little kids.
Yeah. The other day, a little kid, little girl came knocking on our door selling Girl Scout cookies. Well, I can't tell her no.
Yeah. This happens on a regular basis at the golf course right now. So, number 8 tee box is right next to Corbin's house. Corbin Dyson.
Right.
Well, what does he have? A whole bunch of cute little girls. I know when we went and played that day right before Christmas, that nice Friday, whatever it was.
Yeah, yeah.
We get up to number 8 tee box, and I hear this bell ringing. I look over there, there's cute little girls, and they were selling bows, like little bitty bows to put on your presents.
Oh, that's great. That's a great idea.
Yeah, we KJ and I went over there, and he bought us a bow.
It could have been anything, though, right?
Oh, there's no doubt.
It could have been anything.
Corbin said, y'all just wait till we get that lemonade stand built this summer. You'll be going over there every time you play. And you're right. You can't. There's no way.
What kind of lemonade?
Well, that's beside the point.
They could make a fortune.
That was discussed as well.
That's awesome.
Don't think they're old enough for that sort of drink, Jared.
Well, they're not, but the golfers are.
Well, but you can't have them selling it. Anyway, but you're right. Little children.
That's a great, I mean, they're taking advantage where they live. That's a great idea.
Entrepreneurs.
Great idea.
They'll be running that joint out there.
Yeah, yeah.
Before we know it.
We're going to hear their voices on some car ads coming up in the near future.
It's pretty simple. Come buy a car at Barber Dyson Ford because I'm cute.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah,
you're right. Mia, guess I'll do it.
So what's going to take to put you in this car? Not much, yeah, sweetheart. You'll never pinch their cheek and sign the deal. Yeah.
Yes. So the brackets release, we'll put those up on the socials. Starts Thursday, right? In different locations.
A lot of Class B on Thursday, yeah.
So that means we'll have to cut off the entries Thursday afternoon.
Yep.
So get your Tucker family beef 8 for state picks in. I'll kind of run it down from right now. So right now, all you're doing is picking the 8 teams in the Class A and B, girls and boys, who you think are going to make it to the state tournament. And to even simplify it even more, that means when you look at those brackets, 2 of each bracket, you're going to pick to go to state. So you'll have 32 total predictions for the state tournament right now. That's all you have to do right now is pick your teams. 8 Class A girls, 8 Class B girls, 8 Class A boys, 8 Class B boys teams. Then once we actually get to the state tournament here in 3 weeks, the state tournament brackets will be out. So that Monday, the last Monday of February when we roll in here, we will know the state tournament brackets, barring weather. That's always something that can kind of throw a little bit of a curveball in this stuff. But barring that, on that Monday, we will know what the brackets are. Then you fill out all 4 brackets and then you earn points that way as well. But for right now, all you have to do is pick 8 state tournament teams for Class A and B, boys and girls. Get them submitted either on the social media, Facebook posts, comments. We can find them there. Text the show, 580-225-9698. Text us your picks. if you have my number, if you have Jared's number, you can text that way too. You know, I have one entry that came via my phone yesterday, so that's fine. We'll get them all compiled, and then we'll have a leaderboard, and everybody can see who picked who, and it's a lot of fun, and with an awesome prize at the end, that Tucker Family Beef.
Always fun. I'm been studying this bracket since it's come out. Brackets. A lot of interesting possibilities of matchups that are going to make you think, well, on paper, looks like that could be a good team or a good matchup.
Well, you can tell Dakota's feeling his oats since his Chiefs are in the Super Bowl. He's been a lot more funny this week than normal.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Anyhow.
I haven't picked him.
Yeah, I'm not laughing at that one. The one above.
Oh.
Anywho. He's funny. He's a funny guy. funny guy, that guy. Funny guy. Okay, so. Anything else you got? All-Star Reserves announced. Earlier in the year, you thought maybe Chet would have a chance to be that. He's slowed down over the last 3 or 4 weeks. Stat-wise, makes sense that he's not an All-Star yet. But just getting in the mix, getting in the conversation, there's probably a pretty good chance he can do that next year. Jalen Williams kind of in that same boat. Especially yeah. Here's the thing about if they can really play well in the playoffs also, that'll just bolster their names out there going into the year. And then – you know, you might start seeing, okay, preseason, who do you think the All-Stars are going to be? And you might see those guys on that list. And then if they're on that list to start, then they're more likely to be on the list when it really happens. So.
Skills, you watched any of the skills thing last night?
I saw
night?
That Baker Mayfield won the quarterback
thing.
I just
happened to walk into the restaurant we were eating at last night and it was on. That was kind of cool to see.
Got to tell you, maybe time for the Pro Bowl to go away.
That doesn't really move the needle very much. It was on, you know.
The quarterbacks were Hurts, Mayfield, Stroud, Tua, and who were the other two?
I can't remember.
That's the problem.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, that's actually the problem. You can't remember because it's not the best ones. It's just people go away from it, and yeah, it just doesn't.
Or, you know, just play a game, let them tackle.
I actually, for me, with what it became of not tackling and just being ridiculous, I actually think it's more an athletic game that they play the flag.
Oh, yeah?
I do. It's more – I am much more apt to watch it because it's flag than I would be watching them literally play two-hand touch with pads on.
Yeah, I just think it's if people – I'm just adamantly boycotting watching a flag football game because if viewers go up watching a flag football game and go, hey, look, we don't need a tackle. Yeah. We can be safe and play powder puff football.
Geno and Gardner Minshew were the others. I just looked it up.
Okay.
Yeah. No thanks. But anyway, it's over. Yeah, the Pro Bowl is about over. Baseball is the only All-Star game worth watching. I'm going to go with that. I believe that.
I believe that 100%.
I believe that's correct.
Yep.
All right, everybody. Have a great weekend. It'll be Super Bowl week when we come back in here next Monday. Basketball playoff week starts. Man, here we are. One of the best weeks of the year. Coming up on Monday. Everybody have a great weekend. Stay dry tonight. We'll talk about it on Monday.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.
That ball is blistered to right. Way back, goodbye.
Tuesday, February 13th is the school investment election. The plan provides local students and the Canute community with a renovated gymnasium, including new flooring, new stands, new scoreboard, updated restrooms, accessibility improvements, and more. The plan also includes upgrades to the school's science lab to promote more hands-on learning and experiments. Polls will be open from 7 a.m. till 7 p.m. Please take time to vote on this important election, because your voice and your vote matter.